I've traveled all over this country, and I'll say that if man ever found a place to be peaceful and quiet, that spot is on Puget Sound.
Around the Sound with Ivor Hagland, presented by the Fisheries Supply Company. Ivor Hagland, with his tall tales, true fish stories, and ballads, is a regular Northwest troubadour. And here we start off Around the Sound with Ivor Hagland.
I tried to get out of this country, but poverty forced me to stay. Until I became an old settler, then nothing could drive me away. No longer a slave of ambition, I laugh at the world and its shams. As I think of my happy condition, surrounded by acres of clams.
Good morning, friends around the Sound, and cheerful, clam-happy greetings to you from Seattle's waterfront, the heart of the fishing and shipbuilding activities of the Pacific Northwest. Ships built in the yards around the Sound now cruise and fight on every war zone, and millions of pounds of fish caught by our own fishermen are helping our own country and our allies in the Food for Victory program. So us folks around the Sound can be proud of our own contributions. To put ourselves in a relaxed and easy mood, there's a famous old hobo ballad called The Big Rock Candy Mountain. And that song expresses the hopes and the earthy aspirations of the old-time hobo for security and for the good things of life. You know, the hobo has been a much misunderstood character in American life. They were actually the itinerant workers who rode the boxcars from fruit harvest to wheat crop to construction jobs, and they were always on the go when there was no work. A friend of mine, who used to hobo around the country, recently decided to take a few weeks off from his job where he'd been working steady for over 3 years and take a side door Pullman or a boxcar trip east of the mountains, and also do a little fishing as well. He came home from his trip after being gone just about a week, very disillusioned. Nobody was riding the boxcars. In fact, some of the train crews were so lonesome, they invited him to ride with them. After covering 4 states, he only met a couple of old cronies, and even they were working on steady jobs. My friend felt that the old-time hobo life was just another war casualty. In some of the streams that he fished way up in the mountains back in Idaho and Montana, the trout were so lonely that, well, they seemed almost over-anxious to take the hook just to meet a fisherman. But here's our song on that good way of life for the hobo, The Big Rock Candy Mountain.
One evening as the sun went down and the jungle fires were burning, down the track came a hobo hamming, and he says, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away, beside the crystal fountain. I'll see you all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountain. In the Big Rock Candy Mountain, there's a land that's fair and bright, where the handouts grow on bushes and you sleep out every night. Where the boxcars all are empty and the sun shines every day. Where the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees and the rock and rice springs, where the wayndoodle sings in the Big Rock Candy Mountain."
Well, there aren't any cigarette trees or lakes of stew or rock and rice springs around the Sound, but we do have high mountains, tall timber, and a rich marine underworld filled with fascinating and valuable fishes. Many people read in the papers of the big catches worth thousands of dollars that our commercial fishermen make, and they figure that fishing must be a good way to get rich quick. But the trips where the boats and the fishermen don't even get enough fish to pay for the coffee consumed on the trip, well, that kind of news doesn't make news. Or the trip where the fishermen lose all their nets or their gear. You never hear about that. The Fishery Supply Company, our sponsor at their friendly pier at the foot of Spring Street, knows the risks that commercial fishermen take. And the Fishery Supply Company tries to supply them with the best and most dependable fishing gear, nets, rope, cable, and twine available. If you're a commercial fisherman, you'll find every member of the Fishery Supply Company, from the top boss down and back up again, ready and willing in a friendly and informal way to talk to you about your fishing problems and to serve you in any way possible. If you're a commercial fisherman or a ship or a boat builder, you'll find it good business to talk to Fishery Supply, for it's their business to serve you well. These programs are in the way of a friendly greeting to you and to the folks around the Sound who appreciate the scenic charm and the future opportunities of this great Puget Sound country of ours. It's not often that we set ourselves up in the position to give advice to the lovelorn, but we've got a couple of songs or ditties that, well, that do just that. They need to be heard to be appreciated, and they need to be listened to closely to get the warnings therein. And here is our first one. It's called Hello Girls. Hello girls, listen to my voice. Don't you never marry no good-for-nothing boys. If you do, your doom shall be whole cake, hominy, and sassafras tea. Young boys walking down the street, young girls think they look mighty sweet. Hands in their pockets, not a dime can they find. Oh, how unlucky, poor girls mine. When a young man falls in love, first it's honey and then it's turtle dove. After he's married, no such thing. Get up and get my breakfast, you good-for-nothing thing. Well, seeing we're on a little bit of advice to the lovelorn or to girls that should be more careful, our next item of advice is more of a story on a young man who was too lazy to hoe corn. And this man, young man, was so lazy that, well, he just didn't tend to his work, so he went down the road hoping to find some sympathetic girl to marry him and look after him. Well, and this is some good advice for the present-day working girl, but don't think in these songs that I'm trying to discourage romance and marriage. I mean, what would happen to the future of our country? But nevertheless, it's a good idea to be careful and to look before you leap. And here is our old song, The Young Man Who Wouldn't Hoe Corn.
I'll sing you a song, and it's not very long. It's about a young man who wouldn't hoe corn. The reason why, I can't tell. This young man was always well. He planted his corn in the month of June, and in July it was knee-high. First of September came a big frost, and all this young man's corn was lost. So he went right down to his neighbor's door, where he'd odd often been before. Pretty little miss, will you marry me? Pretty little miss, what do you say? Here you are, a-wantin' for to wed, and cannot make your own cornbread. Single I am, and single I remain. A lazy man I'll not maintain.
Well, I think that just about takes up the time for advice to the lovelorn and those who should be careful. And seeing we're on the subject of vegetables, there's no reason why we can't go from corn to sea cucumbers. So to slightly introduce a sea cucumber in a mildly musical manner, here's our original ditty called Deep in the Waters of Puget Sound.
Deep in the waters of Puget Sound, many, many, many strange things are found. The octopi and sea cucumber, weird creatures beyond number.
And now for as much time as we have on the sea cucumber that we can get in this morning. The sea cucumber, although it sounds like a vegetable, is actually an animal, and it's one of these backboneless invertebrates. But it's a really an interesting creature from any angle. If you've never met a sea cucumber around the Sound, well, here's what one looks like. It resembles an ordinary garden cucumber in shape, and it has bumps all over its body in the same way. But there the similarity ceases. There are several kinds of sea cucumbers, but first we'll examine the most common one, which we might call the sea garden variety around the Sound. It's reddish brown, and it's occasionally found on the seashore, having rolled up and been left high and dry when the tide's been going out. But in this case, well, I felt that a little reluctance at giving the sea cucumber a personal name and talking as though he were really somebody you'd like to know and to meet. But on the other hand, if I call this creature his book name, which is Stycopus californicus, you would ask, so what? And no one could blame you. That is, hardly. Well, I guess we'll never grow up when it comes to calling these seashore friends of ours by their everyday monikers. In this case, it's going to be good old Cuthbert cucumber. Now, there are several things that I don't mind telling you about the sea cucumber, that there's a few things I'm, well, rather reluctant to tell you about him. He's a nice fellow, of course, but from his point of view, certain things about him are fundamental to the cucumber's way of life. But before getting personal with Cuthbert, let's take a look at him from the outside. As we said, he looks like a long, well, he can be as long as up to 15 inches, red cucumber, and he's about 3 inches thick. He has a mouth at one end. This mouth of his is a truly wonderful creation. And you can really talk about a well-rouged, cupid, bow feminine mouth. Well, Cuthbert has all that with a lot of extras thrown in. Besides his mouth, which looks as though it were coyly pursed for a kiss, he has 15 flower-like feelers around it, and these delicate feelers or tentacles end in tiny rosettes with hundreds of little branches. It's not exactly an orthodox mouth, but when it's in high gear, it's an amazing thing to behold. And when these tentacles that extend out from that mouth begin to work, they move and wave in all directions, turning and twisting to catch the minute organisms that come to rest in them and any little nautical or undersea goodies that he might come against. And as well as picking up a meal out of the air, or as I should say in this case, out of the water, and that meal is plankton, that microscopic sea life, Cuthbert cucumber picks up a great deal of organic flotsam and jetsam that he runs into as he moves about on the bottom of the sound. Well, I can see that right now our time is almost counted out, and we'll go into some more of this work on our undersea creatures around the sound next week. And thanks, friends, for listening in and for being with us this morning. And drop around this same time next Sunday, and you might drop down to the aquarium on the waterfront and meet, which is just a block from the ferry dock, and meet old Oscar the octopus and pat our pet seal, and even the sea cucumbers would be glad to see you. And old Oscar the octopus has done this week is attend to his garden of sea lettuce and sea cucumbers, and he hopes that you victory gardeners are doing the same. Well, so long, and our last sincere friendly word to you is this.
I've traveled all over this country, and I'll say that if man ever found a place to be peaceful and quiet, that spot is on Puget Sound. I tried to get out of this country, but poverty forced me to stay. Until I became an old settler, then nothing could drive me away. No longer a slave of ambition, I laugh at the world and its shams. As I think of my happy condition, surrounded by acres of clams.
Well, as one sea cucumber to another, it's about time to let the tide roll over us until this same time next Sunday morning, when Fishery Supply Company will again take us around the sound with Ivor Hagland.